I'll read just a little bit here. And as to what we say when I get up here in the morning, always depends on whatever you're looking for. The Lord feeds you according to your appetite. Now, I'm one of them preachers that's rude in speech, not in knowledge, but in speech. Paul said, we're not rude in knowledge. We know what we're speaking of, but we're rude in speech because you're not adjusted to our kind of talking. So, we're rude in speech. I am of the opinion that the trouble with the church is that sin has not been made sin. The Bible said, warn that man called evil good and good evil. And I don't believe people have made, that is the preachers, that they've made the world to know what sin is. I'm afraid that they haven't made it, you know, to know what it is. You can join some of the churches and they say, well, I believe you're a good fellow, you just smoke and that's all. Join another church and they say, I believe you're a good man, you just drink and that's all. And then you join another church and they say, I just believe you just got a lust devil, you know, but I still believe you're a good man. So that's all. When you join this church, I say, I believe you're on your way to hell and that's all. If you're not right with God. Now, you can smoke, chew, dip, have lust demons or whatever you want to, but I believe you're on your way to hell and that's all. I don't believe there's no other thing about it. So then the ministers, they make everything look nice, you know, pretty. And because of that, well, most people get the idea, if I can smoke and still go into heaven, why worry about bothering myself, putting myself in a predicament to give up my cigarettes? And if I can watch the filth on television and still go to heaven and have things like that, well, why worry about getting rid of it? And if I can lust out of one eye and serve God out of the other eye, well, then why worry about getting rid of it? And what they've done, see, they've not called it what Jesus called it. Jesus called it a pig pen and said swine live in it. He called it vomit and said dogs lap it up. And he called it a wilderness and said it was a generation of vipers that lived there. See, he made it what it was. He made it real plain. When he had their religious gatherings, he sat outside and premeditated and he made him a whip. He walked through the temple and he flipped over the money tables and everybody might have looked around and said, here comes that lamb they're talking about. But when he got to flipping over tables, they thought he'd mistaken a lamb for a lion. He began to roll, they couldn't figure out what he was, whether he was a lion or a lamb. And he popped that whip and he said, it's time to straighten up, folks. And they found that there was two sides to the love of God. One side is a lamb that hung at Calvary and died to say, please don't do wrong. Another one that could plait a whip and sit on a judgment seat and say, because you didn't listen to my voice, I'll put you in the flames of hell and roar like a lion. Like a judge said one time when he saved the boy from drowning in later years, the same boy that screamed out that the judge had saved from drowning, the same boy stood before the judge. The judge sentenced him to death, and he cried out and said, judge, don't you remember me? He said, I'm the same boy that you saved from drowning when I was just a lad. He said, I was your savior then, but I'm your judge now. So he saved him then, and then he sentenced him to die in the electric chair later. So the same savior that spilled his blood for you is your savior now. But someday, he's going to be a judge. Now, a lot of people didn't know it, but as a matter of fact, this fellow that preached to us the other night as a savior, Brother Walker, how many of you know that he's also a judge? That is a justice of the peace. Yes, sir, you didn't know that, did you? He is. He's both of them. So he just didn't get around to the last part yet. But anyway, I believe that the preachers have prettied up the things of the world too much. And I'm going to tell you something, you might not agree with me. But I believe that they prettied up the things of the world too much. And because of that, the church doesn't see anything wrong with being half in the world and half with God. But I'm going to tell you something, and you may not agree, but you can think it over and you can check it out. I have never in my life, at any time, at any place, met anybody that was of that kind of opinion that you could do a little something over here and a little something over there and a little something out yonder. I've never met a preacher nor a person that professed Christianity like that that wasn't rotten to the core. I said, I never met one. I've never met one that ever dabbled in the world a bit that wasn't rotten to the core. If you'll just give them enough time, they'll show it. Anytime you see a man trying to justify a little something out there in the flesh, it don't matter what it is, it might seem ever so minor, but the Bible said that the spirit and the flesh are contrary one to another. They lust one against another. And the Bible tells us to abstain from worldly lust. That is the word desire in the original rendering of the Greek. Abstain from fleshly desire that warreth against the soul. For to be of a carnal mind is to die. But to be of the mind of God is to live forever, a spiritual mind. So then there's death in the wilderness of the carnal mind, and there's life in the mind of Jesus Christ, which is a Canaan land. And you find anybody that will sit around and talk to you like this, and I want you to prick up your ears and listen now. They sit around and talk to you like this. You go over to visit with them and you have a conversation. Now listen real good, you'll know what the devil is. He's sly as a fox. Cunning, Jesus said, go tell that fox. You go over to visit with them, and the Bible speaks of seducing spirits, doctrines of devils. How many know the devil's got a doctrine? They used to sing that song, he's got a shoe, if you don't watch out, he'll slip it on you. You go to visit with them, and they'll start a conversation. And as they get well into their conversation, they won't do nothing until they get control of your spirit. Then when they get well into their conversation, they'll say, well, I believe you got a good pastor. I believe our pastor's a good fella. I believe that. That's why I go to church over there. They'll say, but, and that's it right there. Right there. You can tell a goat time he sticks his head in. They'll say, but. And then you can watch out. Because you done run up against a goat. Just sit there and listen, and he'll show you all he's got. The Bible said a fool uttereth all that he knows. Just sit there, he'll utter everything he knows. And after a while, he'll say, you know, the only difference between me and Brother Pike is I just don't believe, you know, there's anything wrong with this. And he'll tell you what it is. And he'll show you how that there's nothing wrong with it. He'll break it down so he'll say, now, can you find anything wrong with it? Well, of course you can't. I mean, how can a human being find anything wrong with eating soup when he's hungry? Are you listening? I said, the Lord could have told him to go on a 10-day fast, but he's hungry for soup, and there ain't nothing wrong with eating the soup because it's soup. And he's hungry, and his appetite was made for the soup. Somebody would say, well, I don't understand what you're talking about. Well, if you'll listen, I'll explain it. And he'll tell you how there's nothing wrong with it. He'll say, it's just a little something, you know, to relax yourself. Well, that's all a cigarette is. It's just some little something to relax yourself. A good drink of booze is just some little something to relax yourself. That's all it is. Are you listening? I said, going to a ball game and sitting and watching play ball is just a little way to relax yourself. Going down to a worldly shindig and dancing a little is just a little way to relax yourself. Going out to the beaches, running around in your bathing suits is just a little way to relax yourself. It's all it's for. That's what it was made for. So some of the businessmen could relax themselves. Now, if there's anything else that pertains to the flesh that you'd like to do, well, you can go ahead and do it because all it is just something to relax yourself. It just makes you feel better. If you want to shoot pool, if you want to play checker, if you want to watch television, Somebody said, now how far are you going? Far enough to get you. It might take me a while, but I'll get there. Love the Lord. That's a good spirit. You know, when you're hunting a fox, you don't just run up and throw your gun up and shoot at him. Not a fox. You got to be wiser than that. But you can get him if you'll watch him. If you don't get him, he'll get the chickens. But if you'll watch him, you can get him. And I've raised some chickens. I know how to get foxes. I know how to get some other things that ain't foxes, some weasels. I want to read just a little bit here, and then I'm going to talk with you and tell you how I feel about it, what the Lord said to me. The burden which Habakkuk the prophet did see, O Lord, how long shall I cry, and thou wilt not hear, even cry out unto thee of violence, and thou wilt not save? Why dost thou show me iniquity, and cause me to behold grievance? For spoiling and violence are before me, and there are that raised up strife and contention. Therefore the law is slack, and judgment never go forth. For the wicked doth compass about the righteous, therefore wrong judgment proceedeth. Behold ye among the heathen, and regard and wonder marvelously, for I will work a work in your days which ye will not believe, though it be told you. For lo, I raise up the Chaldeans, that bitter and hasty nation, which shall march through the breadth of the land to possess the dwelling places that are not theirs. They are terrible and dreadful. Their judgment and their dignity shall proceed of themselves. The horses also are swifter than the leopards, and are more fierce than the evening wolves. And their horsemen shall spread themselves, and their horsemen shall come from far. They shall fly as the eagle that hasteth to eat. They shall come all for violence. Their faces shall sup up as the east wind, and they shall gather the captivity as the sand, and they shall scoff at the kings, and the princes shall be a scorn unto them. They shall deride every stronghold, for they shall heap dust and take it. Then shall his mind change, and he shall pass over and offend, imputing this his power unto his God. All right. In the first part, we're told here grievance, spoiling, the law is not brought to pass, the judgment is not brought to pass. The judgment comes from their own doings, their own ideas about it. But he said, in your day I'll work a work that ye shall in no wise believe, though a man declare it to you. This is the day of that work. This is the day of that work. When Jesus came on the scene, he quoted this scripture. I don't know why you remember reading it or not. Why are you gathered together against the Lord's Christ? Jesus quoted the scripture from the Old Testament, being the fulfillment of it. Said, behold, I work a work in your day, ye shall in no wise believe. I'll pour out of my spirit upon all flesh, and they shall prophesy. Your young men shall see visions, and your old men shall dream dreams. On my handmaidens in that day I will pour out of my spirit, Jesus said, and they shall prophesy. In the last days, and we got a preview of it, when Jesus came on the scene, he gave us a preview of it. And then he went away. And then in the latter times, he said, ye shall behold and see that this is right and this is true. In the last days, he that receiveth the message of the Bible said, let him run with it, because it'll be a quick work, cut short in righteousness. No judgment coming from the pulpit. There is no judgment. There is nothing that tells the people what is right and what is wrong. There is nothing that offers to advance the people into the mysteries of God
or into the world of the unknown, people are contented to be just exactly in the same place that their grandmother was in. And they sang the song, if it was good enough for grandmother, it's good enough for me. Well, it might have been good enough for grandmother, but it's not good enough for me. It might have been all right for the man that lived in the days of the T-model to drive a T-model. But if I drive a T-model, I'll get knocked off the road. Unless I got it souped up. And I don't care to ride in a souped up T-model. Wheels might come off. What made it run that fast? What was back yonder was all right. I agree with him. That was good. What Elijah had in his day, that was good. But that won't do for today. Somebody said, but I believe today is the return of Elijah. There's a greater than Elijah here. Elijah longed to see the day that you're living in. There's a greater than Solomon here, because this is the day of the Holy Ghost and the sons of God. Solomon would long to have been filled with the Holy Ghost. I say this again to some of you that might not understand. Those men were great men, but they did not have the Holy Ghost. I say again that David would not have stolen his neighbor's wife and committed murder if he'd had the Holy Ghost. But he didn't have the Holy Ghost. Somebody said, oh me. I said David didn't have the Holy Ghost. That's why he did it. Solomon would not have married every woman in the tribe that he could find in every heathen woman if he'd had the Holy Ghost. He wouldn't have committed adultery every day of his life if he'd had the Holy Ghost. David wouldn't have married all of them either if he'd had the Holy Ghost. Are you listening? Got a lot of preachers today that run around the country and they sidestep the gospel, run off with another man's wife, then they make a comeback to the pulpit and say, well, David did it. He was a man after God's own heart. David didn't have the Holy Ghost, and the reason they did it, because they didn't have the Holy Ghost either. If they had the Holy Ghost, they wouldn't have done it. Are you listening? Somebody said, well, if he let David buy with it, he'll let me buy with it. He let David buy with it, but I want you to see something. David did not have the Holy Ghost. And he let David get by with it by killing his son. One son committed murder, killed the other son. By letting his own son, Absalom, commit harlotry with the wives of David in public before Israel, by driving David off of his throne into the wilderness. Are you listening? By letting Joab, a wicked general, which was the son of David's sister, kill his son Absalom. By letting one of his daughters become a harlot. By sorrows and heartaches and troubles and fastings until David said, my own bones stare at me. He let David get by with it that way. Now listen, brothers and sisters. If David paid that kind of price for his sins because he sinned against God, and he did not have the infilling of the Holy Ghost, I wonder what you think God is going to do with you that profess to have the Holy Ghost and do the low-down, rotten, slimy things that you do. And I say that to this congregation, them it hears the tapes too. Don't you ever think God is going to let you get by with your cunning little device. It's not hid from Brother Pike, and it's not hid from God either. I just go along like I don't know nothing for the sake of the gospel. But God don't hide things. Now, let me tell you something, folks. The Bible said that if those people that was under the law, that transgressed the law died in the presence of two or three witnesses because they trampled over the blood of goats. Of how much more or sore punishment shall they be thought that worthy of receiving that has trampled over the blood of Jesus Christ? God will literally tear you into pieces. All of these preachers that's trying to bring you some kind of what they call the love of God, and that everything is going to be all right, for you to continue to mix and to mingle with the things of the world, they're lying to you. God is going to call you to a recompense of reward for every transgression. The Bible said if the angels who are greater in power and in might received a just recompense of reward for every transgression, how shall you escape if you neglect so great salvation? Judgment is not brought to pass. In the pulpit, the preacher will not preach holiness. God is a spirit of holiness. How many of you know that? Somebody would say, I'm Baptist, I'm Methodist, I'm Presbyterian, I'm Pentecostal, I'm Assembly of God, I'm Church of God, I'm UPC. But the Bible don't say that God's any of that, does it? The Bible said that God is the spirit of holiness. And without holiness, no man shall see the Lord. Why? Because he is holy. He is the spirit of holiness. And Paul said, it's the spirit that I serve with my spirit. All this modern religion of trying to get everybody in, they want the banker in, and they want the doctor in, and they want Brother John in, and Sister Sissy in, and everybody else. They want to bring them in with their mini skirts, and they want to bring them in with their worldly prestige, and they want to bring them in with everything that they got hanging to them out in the world. God don't want that. God don't want them people. Somebody said, but I believe God wants them. God don't have nothing to do with them. Somebody said, well, that's your opinion. That's not my opinion. That's the Bible. You're just mixed up. That's your opinion. God is not trying to get the banker unless the banker wants to get down on his knees, pray through to God, get the Holy Ghost, get away from his crooked operations. Somebody said, but I believe that we can do this and we can do that. I know you believe that, and the devil believes too, but the devil's going to hell and you're going to hell with him. Somebody said, but I believe it'd be all right, but the Bible doesn't say it's all right. The Bible said if any man puts out his money to usury, he shall not stand in the holy hill of God. Let him get away from what he's doing if he wants to be part of this. He can't come into this and be that too. God set a boundary. He's got a great firmament. You can't go out there and mix and mingle with the world. Somebody said, well, don't you think I ought to be able to settle their problems? Stay away from their problems. Their problems, not your problems. God doesn't want you sticking your nose into their problems. Somebody said, what do you mean, Brother Pike? I mean, they come over to Jesus and said, Lord, would you tell this man over here that my brother so-and-so about my brother? He ought to divide the inheritance with me, Jesus. And I ain't got time for nothing like that. I ain't got time for no stuff like that. I ain't got time for things like that. God called me to preach. Carry the gospel. Hallelujah! Into all the world for a witness, into every creature. God called me to do it. I've got no time to dilly-dally around in men's affairs. Get out of the slop holes and get with God. Get out of the slop holes and get with God. Be one with God. Move with God. Talk with God. Live in God. You got your false prestige with the things that you mix and mingle with, and you drag the children of God down into the same slop holes with you. You belong to God. You don't have to get out there with a bunch of pigs to try to get some false prestige. You're sons and daughters of God. You own the world and everything in it. You own heaven. You own earth. Everything is yours. You're the one that's got the prestige. You're the one that's holy. You're the one that's righteous. Somebody say, aha, the Jews talked like that too. Aha, they didn't have the Holy Ghost either. You're not as smart as you think you are. You're just in the carnal mind. I hear you talking up here. I hear you talking. Sound like you're ringing cowbells. That old carnal mind of yours that argues back. I hear it. The Jews did not have the Holy Ghost. They felt they were righteous by their own doings, by the works of their own flesh, by the law. But I'm declaring God's righteousness, the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. In the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sin. Ooh, I feel the Holy Ghost. I believe God liked that then. The Bible said, I say at this time to declare his righteousness. Who shall declare his generation? For he was cut off, numbered with the transgressors. I'm here this morning to declare his generation. You say, where is his generation, Brother Pike? By the washing of regeneration. I declare his generation by the washing of regeneration. We are not of the Adamic nature of Adam, but we've been born again, washed in the blood. We're in the new generation. We're regenerated, and we are the generation of Jesus Christ. And you are his generation this morning. And I'm here to declare you as his generation. Let the world see it. Let the world know, Brother Zale, that we're the generation of Jesus Christ. We're sons of God, born of the Spirit. I'll be gotten of the will of the flesh. I'm not begotten of the will of the flesh. You know the thing about Jesus, the Bible said he wasn't born of the will of man. That wasn't human passion that brought him into the world. That wasn't it. But he was born of the will of God. The Holy Spirit, not man's spirit, intermingled with woman's spirit, not a human passion, not that kind of thing, but an inspiration from God that came down from heaven, that inspired, that brought forth the Son of God, that started another generation. And today, I am born to the Spirit. I am born to that same Holy Ghost God that inspired, that brought Jesus into this world. That's why I sing about the Holy Ghost. That's why I talk about the Holy Ghost. That's why I want you to be filled with the Holy Ghost. I want you to be filled with the Holy Ghost. Not just have the gift of the Holy Ghost, but the Bible said to be filled with the Holy Ghost. He breathed upon them, and they were filled with the Holy Ghost. I believe we ought to be filled with the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah, I'm feeling better. Got a little faith stirred. Get people's faith stirred a little bit, you feel the Holy Ghost. How many remember this? I said from time to time, this world is a darkness. All the way from the garden, it's been darkness. I used to kind of chuckle a little bit in my spirit, you know. Brother Taylor, he can't tell day from night when he's preaching or singing. He'll just, it can be morning and he'll say, tonight we're having a good time anyway. I used to kind of laugh at him, you know, a little bit about it. But I got to thinking and I thought, well, if darkness extends all the way from the garden over to the millennium, well, he's not as far off as I thought he was. Maybe I need to get my eyes open. Hallelujah. Praise God. So then judgment is perished. People won't declare the gospel. You know why? They want the favor. They want admiration. They want the money. They want the prestige. They want to put their plans over of that burning passion they got in their heart. But I want the will of God. That's what I want. I want God's will to be done. I was talking to the Lord the other night. And while I was talking to God, I was thinking the other night. I thought, Lord, I want you to help me. And the Lord, I heard something ring back from heaven and say, I'll give you your heart's desire. That's the Bible. Delight yourself in me, I'll give you the heart's desire. And it ring back, son, you can have your heart's desire. And I laid there for a few minutes and I said, oh my God. I said, my heart's desire is for you to have your heart's desire, God. I said, that's what my heart's desire is. Hallelujah. And I heard something from heaven say, my heart's desire is for you to have your heart's desire, son. I thought, my God, what a team. How could the world ever do anything but crumble under an impact like that? A team working together. Jesus said, my Father and I are one. That makes us one. If my heart's desire is for him to have his heart's desire, and his heart's desire is for me to have my heart's desire, what if a man and a wife lived together like that? That's the way they're supposed to live together. What if you loved your husband like that? And down in your heart you said, oh God, my one desire is for my husband to have his very heart's desire in me. And the husband, because you did that, say, honey, my heart's desire is for you to have your heart's desire. You know what that would do? That would constitute the heart desire of the eternal spirit in man and woman and in man toward God. Is that right? Hallelujah. Ooh. Feeling so much better? Let's go on talking about this good old way. Let's go on, Brother Taylor said, talking about the Lord. Hallelujah. Praise God. It's a good thing this thing's up here sometime. When Brother Taylor gets stirred up, he might jump all the internet platform. Hallelujah. So then what do we need to do? We need to call that in the world as it is, my brother. We need to tell them about the slime pit. I made the statement, I don't care if my children, my spiritual children, I don't care if they go off to another church. I don't care if they go to visit. I don't. If they're old enough to be off, I don't want my little babies that's still on the bottle wandering around yonder by themselves going somewhere. Do you? Do you? I don't care if my older boy David, sometimes he goes down fishing somewhere. He goes off down there. I'd rather he wouldn't do it because I see things that's important that needs to be done. But I don't care if he goes with somebody, if it's saved once in a great while. You follow me? If I've got some that wants to go visit with other churches and it looks like it might be a decent place, then get a spiritual member of the body. Take your mother with you. And let her go there and hold your hand. Show if they're trying to lead you wrong. She can slap your hand and say, no, Junior. And I'll tell you, there's some places I don't want mama going. Unless daddy goes. Hallelujah. Praise God. I like for daddy to be along too in some of them places. Some fellas, they're pretty fancy, you know. Brother Branham said, you don't have to worry about the old plowboy with the overalls on. Said, when that fella starts slicking back his hair, said, you better keep an eye on that fella. Said, he's out to get your wife. That's a good way to watch your wife. When she starts slicking her hair back a little bit, you better watch her. They might be out to get somebody else's fella that lost interest in you. Somebody said, I'm sure of my wife. I ain't sure of nothing but God. I ain't sure of nothing but God. I'm not even sure I'll be living tomorrow. I'm not sure I'll be able to pay my bills. I'm not sure of my daughter. I'm not sure of my son. I'm not sure of any of my relatives, my friends, my neighbors. I'm not sure of anything but God. I'm sure of God. I've never seen a preacher in my life I ever had confidence in. I've never met one. I've been from coast to coast. I've been in the islands. I've never seen a woman I ever had confidence in. I've never seen a man ever had confidence in. Never. Somebody said, well, my God, Brother Pike, that don't leave nothing but you. I didn't even have no confidence in me, so that don't leave nothing but him. The Bible said there's none good but him. Somebody say, preacher, you mean to tell me, you stand there and tell your congregation they're not supposed to have confidence in anybody. I tell you in the name of the Lord, don't you ever have confidence in anybody. Never. Nobody. At any time. What kind of preaching are you preaching? I'm preaching what he said. Where in the world do you get that? The Bible said we are they that have no confidence in the flesh. None. Man, woman, boy, girl. Nobody. We are they that have no confidence in the flesh. None at all. Somebody said, but you make me feel bad, Brother Pike. I thought you had the greatest kind of confidence in me. Not a lick. Not a bit.
Never did have nothing from the time I ever met you. Love you. Love to help win you to God. But I say again to you, if I see one tiny little spark of Jesus in you, I got confidence in that little spark. And if I see a blaze in you, I've got confidence in that blaze. And if I see just a great fire within you, I got confidence in that fire that's on the inside of you. Hallelujah. Every step that you take with Jesus, I got the greatest kind of confidence in it. Hallelujah. Follow me as I follow Christ, Paul said. Have confidence in the Christ in me. That way, my brother, you'll never be hurt. You'll never fall. Nobody will never overthrow you. But I'm going to tell you, if you got confidence in your wife, you're going to get hurt. Somebody said, I'll never do it. Talk with the man that knows. That's right. They say you get a lemon sometime when you buy new cars. Somebody said, well, I got confidence in Chevrolet. Talk with the man that got a lemon and you'll know. Chevrolet betrayed him. Is that right? Brother Gary got one of them. I can tell the way he acted. Hallelujah. How many leave serving God's joy? Hallelujah. You got a right to have joy. Praise God. So then, you got confidence in your wife, you're going to get in trouble. Because she's human flesh and she'll betray you. Jesus said, the weakness of the flesh, within my flesh there dwelleth no good thing. No good thing. Somebody said, but I'm bone of his bone and flesh of his flesh. That's right. Potentially speaking. I said, potentially speaking. That's right. By the foreknowledge of God, God sees us as the finished product in Jesus Christ. Is that right? But I want you to know, speaking of this very moment, this very hour, the Bible said we wait for the redemption of the body. Within your body there dwelleth no good thing as in the flesh. No good thing. There's nothing good there. There's nothing good there. But the Christ, the inner man, place your confidence in the inner man. You'll never be betrayed. You'll never be betrayed. Paul's closest friend betrayed him. He trusted him, but they had a dispute. He couldn't stay with him. Jesus ordained 70. Somebody said, well, if I meet these fellows that can work miracles, I know they got God. I can trust them. Somebody said one time, you can't trust a fellow no further, you can throw a house. Just ever how far you can throw this building, that's how far you can trust them. Somebody said, Brother Pike, you mean to tell me you speak of a man of God like that? Look how Jesus spoke of a man of God. He said, get behind me, Satan. How many agree that Peter was a man of God? So then, Jesus ordained 70 of them. And the Bible said that they cast out devils. They healed the sick. They've done everything that you would like to do, you know, naturally speaking. Is that right? But the Lord told them, said, I want to give you a revelation. They said, we don't understand what you're talking about. We're leaving the ministry. Said, we're leaving the ministry. We're through with it. Oh, somebody said they didn't do that. Yes, they did do that. Yes, they did do that. You say, all these great men that's wrought these miracles and done these healings, that they're going to leave the ministry, they're already doing it. Look at old Roberts. A great man of God that brought healing to the sick. There's doctor's proofs that he did it. But what was it? That Balaam attitude. Though Balaam could see visions with his eyes open, when that money got to jangling around, it caught the vision. Somebody said, I feel led. Uh-oh, I told you I was going to find out where he's living. This is where you'll break fellowship with him. Somebody said, I feel led. Led to do what? I feel led to go to that church. Why? I go by there every so often to pick me up an offering. I mean, I feel led to go. That's the way the judge does. Bringing for the sentence.
Something got to leave. Like Jack Cole one time, Jack Cole said God spoke to him and told him to go out to one place, and he got to thinking about the offering he had in another place, and so he took the tent to the other place. Are you listening? And said when he got to the other place, God let it continually rain. Just rain, rain, rain. Until it killed his meeting. And said then that scared him about half to death. And said God spoke to him and said, Jack, because you did this, I want to kill you. And said his song leader said, I'm leaving, Jack. Said he's going to kill you, he'll kill me too. Said I'm leaving. And sure enough, he killed Jack. Somebody said, you don't believe God did that. The Bible said God kills and makes alive. God killed Jack. I don't know whether he done it for that reason or not, but he killed Jack. He was a young man. He killed him. Is that right? Brother Branham said, what if you could look out your and see your death at the age of 56? At 56, God took him home. Is that right? How do you understand what I'm saying? All of these great things, you can't place confidence in them. Judgment has failed. They might have healings. They might have great ministries. Great things are taking place. I know that it is. I've been out there. I've seen some of it. But I want you to know that God is not obligated to any of them. He did what he felt to do in sending the rain on the just and on the unjust. Somebody would say, but Brother Pike, I don't believe that those people could have ever did that unless they believed in God. They couldn't have. The devil couldn't have caused you the trouble he caused you unless he'd have believed. Somebody said, but he don't believe in God. The Bible said, if you believe there's one God, you do well. He believes too. Trembles. He got just as much confidence as one God as you have. How does the devil do his evil? By believing. By believing. I know that jump my gun, that has to go in Revelation to show that. That has to go in Revelation to show that. But the devil is a believer. But it don't mean you're going to heaven because you believe. Unless a person's filled with the Holy Ghost, they've got to have the gift of the Spirit. Somebody say, I believe. That doesn't mean that you're going to heaven. I say, you mean I believe and ain't got the Holy Ghost and I'm not a Christian? Let me tell you something. I say this again. You may be elect according to foreknowledge. You may be one of God's elect and you've just never come to the infilling of the Holy Ghost. And you're just in the stages of believing. But I tell you this. If you don't ever come to the infilling of the Holy Ghost, it's positive proof that you was not one of God's elect. The Bible said, grieve not the seal, the Holy Spirit, whereby you're sealed until the day of the redemption of the body. Is that right? Don't grieve. When that king put that seal, he took that ring, that signet of the Old Testament, and he put it on an epistle that he'd written. He stamped it. It went out from the kingdom. It was an official seal. And everybody in the kingdom trembled because it was official in the sight of the king. And the Bible said that ye are an epistle that's known and read of all men. And God with a great spiritual ring. Ring symbolized love unending. Is that right? Without end. He seals it. And then you are an epistle that's known and read of all men. Is that right? If you don't have the seal, then my brother, you are not official. You didn't come in the kingdom. God gave Abraham, even in the Old Testament, they had to have a seal. And the Bible said he gave him the seal, the sign of circumcision. Until the Holy Ghost could come, he had to have the king's seal. Is that right? Have you listened to what I'm saying? There has to be a seal. And that seal has to be official. If you don't have it, then the preserves are not preserved. Are you listening? I can cook all the peaches I want to, all the apples I want to, and I can put them in a jar, but they're not preserves. I can set them on the table.
I can set them on the shelves. I can put them wherever I want to put them. And I can say I got a whole bunch of preserves, but they're not preserves.
Somebody said, well, I don't see where putting a little rubber band around them's got anything to do with whether they're preserves or not preserves. It's got a lot to do with it. The word preserved, you know what it means when you preserve something through the years? You preserve something from spoiling. That's why they're called preserves. You know why they're preserves? Not because you cooked them, but because you put the seal on them and that sealed them and now they're preserves. Is that right? But if you don't put the seal on them, they're just a jar full of apples. That's all. They're not preserves. If you don't have the Holy Ghost, you are not sealed. Somebody said, but I believe I'm sealed. Well, why is it you're stinking? I said, some of you done spoiled. Why is it you cause a stink everywhere you go? Everywhere you go. You ever seen something that rottens? It causes a stink. Why do you cause a stink? It's because you wasn't preserved. You didn't receive the seal of the Holy Ghost. That's what it is. You've got to be preserved. Somebody said, but Brother Pike, I spoke in tongues. That don't mean nothing when it comes to being preserved. Somebody say, you mean to tell me? I mean to tell you. I said, it don't mean a thing. I've seen people speak in tongues. And I've seen them dip. I've seen them smoke. Take up time with other men's wives and everything else. I don't mean you got the Holy Ghost because you speak in tongues. Speaking in tongues is not the initial evidence of the Holy Ghost. That's not Bible. That's a Pentecostal doctrine that came years ago. It's not Bible. You can't prove it by Bible. But listen, there's only one proof of the Holy Ghost within you, and that is if you have the overcoming nature of Jesus Christ in your life. He that is born of God cannot sin, for God's seed remaineth in him, and he cannot sin because he is born of God. The word Spirit is a seal. And when the Spirit comes into your spirit, you are sealed unto the day of the redemption of the body. Is that right? So then, you could speak in tongues, you could prophesy. Balaam done more than that. He saw visions, but he didn't have the Holy Ghost. He didn't have the Holy Ghost. David was a prophet. Are you listening? Somebody said, bless God, I'm a prophet. You listen to me. I said, David was a prophet, but still didn't have the Holy Ghost. Elijah was a prophet, but still didn't have the Holy Ghost. Who? Brother Pike, what are you doing? I'm preaching the word. Let's go back a little farther. Abraham, the father of the faithful, did not have the Holy Ghost. Somebody said, I know you done jumped the gun now. No, preaching the word. He did not have the Holy Ghost. Are you listening? Let's get stronger than that. Moses! Boy, if the Jews heard that, that'd show cause a turmoil, wouldn't it? I said, Moses did not have the Holy Ghost. Now, there never was a greater than John the Baptist. That means Moses wasn't no greater than John the Baptist. How many believe that? But notwithstanding, he that is one member of the body of Christ and the least member, he is bone of his bone, flesh of his flesh, filled with the Holy Ghost. He is greater than Moses, greater than Abraham, greater than John, greater than the prophets and all of them. Somebody said, where in the world do you get that, Brother Pike? I get that out of the Bible. I get that out of the Bible. Where did you get what you're preaching? We'll compare notes sometimes. They did not have the gift of the Holy Ghost, though they were great men. Noah didn't have it. Let's get stronger now. Adam did not have the Holy Ghost. Oh, you're getting worse and worse all the time. Adam never had the Holy Ghost. And we can get stronger than that. Enoch was translated by faith and still didn't have the Holy Ghost. Are you listening? You want to get stronger than that? Peter received the keys to the kingdom and still didn't have the Holy Ghost. Well, I feel good. Now you say, why do you feel so good? If God done all of that for them people without the Holy Ghost, just think what He's going to do for me and me got the Holy Ghost. The Bible said you're greater than any of them. Why are you greater? Because them fellas live down yonder in the earth and we live up here in heaven. They wanted to come up here where we're at. They longed to see this day. They wanted to come up here. But they couldn't. There were prophets down there in the earth. But we are they that dwell in heaven. Somebody said, oh, wait a minute. Wait a minute, Rabbi. All right, let's see if that's right. I said, well, I could never preach nothing like that. All right. You say that you could never preach that we're in heaven. I've heard people mock it, you know. They say, I never preach nothing like that. All right, you say you can't preach anything like that. Now, I want to ask you a question. I want to see if you know what you're preaching. I want to see if you know where you're living and who you are. Tell me, at death, where does the spirit of man go? The spirit goeth back to God who gave it. Is that right? How many of you agree that in God's presence is heaven? The spirit goeth back to God who gave it. Is that right? You say that we couldn't be in heaven. I say that we couldn't help but be in heaven. Somebody said, well, I know I'm not, Brother Pike. Well, maybe you stopped on the other side of Jordan. I don't know. You say, but I'm one of you. They were too. They fought right along with the others, but they never did go into Canaan. You know, as far as dwelling there. They saw it, but they never did get to settle there, did they? Spies saw it. Brought back some of the fruits, but they didn't get to settle there. Are you following me? You preach. I preach. We preach. When I say that, I say to the people that's listening on the tapes around the different parts of the nation. We preach. We preach that we are baptized for the dead. Is that right? We preach that we are baptized in the name of Jesus. And that we are baptized for the dead. Well, you must not believe we're very dead. Because you agree that the scripture says that the spirit goes back to God who gave it at death. And yet you said you baptized people for the dead. And yet you don't believe they're in heaven. Somebody said, well, if I baptize them for the dead, they're out there in the grave. Well, then you don't believe in the resurrection. You just believe in Calvary. You sound like a Catholic. That's what they believe. They emphasize the cross. They get as far as Calvary. They'll tell you they believe in the cross. But they never did make it over Jordan. They never did get over Jordan. They never did get in the resurrection. That's why they're a big religious organization in the world now. The Roman powers have stretched out the mother, the whore and her daughters. Got a name that they live, but they're dead. Denominational powers. All right, now, if you're baptized for the dead, don't you believe that you're dead? Somebody said, but that's just a symbol. Where did you ever read in the Bible that that's a symbol? Somebody said, well, I got enough understanding. Well, you need to get rid of it. The Bible said, lean not to your own understanding. That's where your trouble is to start with. There ain't no symbol about it. Somebody said, but I reason it out. But you're wrong. The Bible said, come and let us reason together. That's the word. Reason with the word. Whatever the word says. Somebody said, but Brother Pike, I got enough sense to know that I can see me. Do you see you dead? Or do you see you living? Now, that we are baptized for the dead. The Bible said, as many as have been baptized into Christ have put on Christ. We are baptized in the dead, to the dead, for the dead. Is that right? Therefore, we are dead. It is no longer I that liveth, but Christ that liveth within me. Somebody say, well, that proves you wrong right there. If it ain't you living, that proves you're still dead. Then what did Paul mean by this? The life I now live, I live by the Son of God that's within me. So then, I was baptized for the dead, and the death, my spirit, my inner man, it went back to God who gave it. So then, I am hid with Christ in God, whom the heavens have received, until the millennium, the restoring, the restitution of all things. I'd love to see anybody prove that wrong. I'd love to see any Bible scholar here, any Bible scholar in Germany, any Bible scholar around the world, I'd love to see them prove that wrong. I challenge any man in the world to prove it wrong. He can't do it. It can't be done. It can't be done. Somebody said, boy, you sure got confidence in yourself. I told you I didn't have no confidence in me. But I got confidence like Abraham had in every word that he says. I believe it's exactly the way he said it. If he said, I'm baptized for the dead, then I died. If he said, as I've been planted together with him in the likeness of his death, so am I raised in the likeness of his resurrection. I'm alive. Jesus said, I once was dead, but now I'm alive and got the keys to death and to hell. All right, just a little further and we'll close. Just exhort you just a little bit more here. I believe that God has placed us in heaven. I am not of Adam. Let me run through just a word or two here right quick. I am not born of Adam. I am not born of Adam. I died to that. I died to it. Sin killed me. And death means to be out of the presence of God. It took me out of the presence of God because God is life. If you're out of the presence of God, you're dead. Them people out there in the world's dead. Some of them twice dead, plucked up by the root. That means their spirit's dead too. But I am not born of Adam. I'm dead because of sin in the Adam race. But I'm born to the Spirit. I am born again. I'm born of the eternal spirit. And I'm alive forevermore. I don't even have to go to the grave. Somebody said, well, you just wait till you die, and then that'll prove everything. It won't prove nothing. You'd be just as mixed up if I died. If I died and had my funeral tomorrow, you'd be just as mixed up or more than you are today. That don't prove nothing. Paul said the mystery. The mystery. A lot of people say, well, I'm satisfied with what I got. Well, you need to get the mysteries. Somebody will say, well, the Bible said the mysteries will be finished, but that didn't say that we had to know them. I know it doesn't. But the Bible said it's given unto you to know the mysteries of God. And those that do get the mysteries will be translated. Are you listening? Are you listening? How can we be translated? By the revelation. Somebody would say, but Brother Pike, Enoch was under the law, and Enoch was translated. Enoch was not under the law. Enoch knew nothing of the law. The law had never come in the days of Enoch. That's why it could be translated by faith. If there had been any law, it couldn't have been translated by faith. Because he'd been a transgressor. Whosoever is justified by the law is fallen from faith. And the Bible said he was translated by faith. And we're coming to the mystery that we be translated by faith. Somebody would say, but what do you mean he was translated? You said he didn't have the Holy Ghost. Because the revelation of Jesus Christ appeared to Enoch. And Enoch saw it. Sam Enoch was translated. Somebody said, you can't prove that. But I can prove that. Where do you get any record of it? The Bible says, speaking in Jude and these brethren that recorded the New Testament later years, said that Enoch spoke of it and saw the Lord coming with 10,000 of his saints to execute judgment upon them that were on the earth that be wicked. He saw it. He got his eyes open. It wasn't the law. God revealed something to him, my brother. That's revelation. And he was translated. And to think that we are farther along than Enoch was. Enoch was only translated that he should not see death. I'm not just translated that I should not see death. I am translated into the marvelous kingdom of God. And I'm a son of God. And I'm heir to all things. I own heaven and earth and all therein. Enoch was translated that he should not see death, my brother. Carried away. But I've not just been translated that I should not see death. I've been translated into the eternal Spirit of God. I am one with my Father, Jesus said. Bone of his bone and flesh of his flesh. I am in heaven. Have you believed Jesus is in heaven? The Bible said he's in heaven. Have you really believed Jesus is in heaven? Let me see your hand. All right, the Bible said we are hid with Christ. All right, now where did you say Christ was? How in the world could I be hid with somebody and not be in the same place that they were in? How could I do that? Somebody said, well, I hide in this house and you hide in this house. We're hid with each other. You know better than that. We both hid, but we ain't hid with each other. Somebody said, well, I believe it could be like that. Well, all right, your wife, let her get her house over there and live over there. Her and the youngins, and you live over here. Y'all can live with each other. If you can hide with each other like that, why come you can't live with each other like that? Al, you just step here with us, and you can still live with them people in Mexico. You know better than that. That can't be. But we are hid with Christ in God. That is in the Spirit, for God is the Spirit. Christ is hid in the Spirit. How many believe Christ is hid in the Spirit? How many believe the Spirit is heaven? Watch your hands now. You can't dispute with me and be against me and go along with me too. I said, how many believe that Christ is hid in God? How many believe that God is a Spirit? How many believe that the Spirit is heaven in that it says it's hid in heaven? Hidden God. You agree? You agree that the Spirit is heaven? How have you been born to the Spirit? Hid with Christ in God. How do you believe that if you walk in the Spirit, you won't fulfill the lust of the flesh? How is it that Paul said, ye are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit? Then if you're in the Spirit, where are you? You are in heaven. You are in heaven. I said, my, what am I going to do? There ain't nothing to do. He's done it. Somebody said, but I've been trying to pray through. You couldn't never pray through. How could you ever pray through? Somebody said, well, that's what we taught years ago. You get in there and pray through. Well, there ain't no such thing. There ain't no such thing as you getting down there praying through. Jesus prayed through. He's the door. He tore down the middle wall. All you got to do is just walk through. Just by faith, just walk on in. So what do you mean, Brother Pike, you can't pray through? I want to ask you one question. How can you pray through when the Bible says you don't even know what to pray for? But the Spirit on the inside maketh intercession with groans and moans that can't be uttered, because he knows the mind of God and the mind of the Spirit. Somebody say, I've done it. I don't know if you ever done it or not. I need to go to Jerusalem. I need to go to Jerusalem.
And the Spirit said, he needs a 3-day fast. He needs a 3-day fast. Somebody said, I need a nice new car. The Spirit said, he needs to walk till he learns obedience. He needs to walk till he learns obedience. Is that right? Somebody said, I'm going to win the world. Are you listening? Some good Holy Ghost preacher said, what you need is your diaper changed. Somebody said, I don't believe that. I know you don't believe that. How about I say something else? I don't believe that. We are hid with Christ in God, whom the heavens have received. How long are we going to be there? Until the time of the restitution. What is the restitution? He said the restoring of all things. What is that? To bring us back to the garden experience of Adam. I say this again. Adam did not have eternal life. Adam was in the presence of eternal life. You follow me? He did not have eternal life. He was in the presence of eternal life. I wasn't going to mention this. It came to me to mention this. I wasn't going to mention it. I just laid it aside, but God wants me to mention it, so he brought it back to me. Adam didn't have eternal life. He was in the presence of the eternal life. But God wants to restore the garden and put an Adam in there, this time the second man, Adam, that does have eternal life. It'll never be taken away from him no more. Never no more. Never again. I feel the Holy Ghost, don't you? I'm glad I got the Holy Ghost. Because I feel the Holy Ghost. I feel the Holy Ghost. The same Spirit that raised up Christ from the dead. I feel it. I feel it. And Elizabeth said, and the babe leaped within my womb. Why did it leap within the womb? Because I felt the Holy Ghost. When that baby felt the Holy Ghost, it leaped, started jumping around. Tried laying just as still, no motion, but all of a sudden the Holy Ghost just went down in there and just touched little baby John. Just touched him. Old John, he just shouted right there. My brother preached on shouting the other night. Why, he didn't wait till he got out. He just shouted right there. Had a camp meeting right in the womb. Isn't that wonderful? Oh, I'm going to close here. See, what I'm saying is, those men did not have the Holy Ghost. Now listen so it won't confuse you. When they spake by the Holy Ghost. When they were moved by the Holy Ghost. When they saw visions by the Holy Ghost. When they worked miracles and raised the dead, they did it by the Holy Ghost. Are you following me? But not a one of them had the Holy Ghost. Not a one of them had the Holy Ghost. Not a one of them had the Holy Ghost. Now, they never had the Holy Ghost. It had never been made to them a gift at that time. The Bible said the Holy Ghost was not yet given. The Holy Ghost was present with them. The Holy Ghost spoke through David. And spoke to the prophets concerning Judas. Peter said they spake by the Holy Ghost. And even John's father was filled with the Holy Ghost. I made a statement here the other day. You know, I was preaching a number of times here, a number of months back. A lot of folks say, well, you couldn't get filled with the Holy Ghost before Pentecost. And I made the statement, well, sure, men's been filled with the Holy Ghost ever since the world started. Abraham was filled with the Holy Ghost. Somebody said, boy, you got me all crossed up. No, Abraham was filled with the Holy Ghost. Daniel was filled with the Holy Ghost. Are you listening? David was filled with the Holy Ghost. Are you listening? Elijah was filled with the Holy Ghost. Enoch was filled with the Holy Ghost. But you say, but Brother Pike, you just said they didn't have the Holy Ghost. They didn't. Not one of them had it. But you say, I don't understand how you're going to be filled with the Holy Ghost and not have the Holy Ghost. The Bible said that John the Baptist's father, he was filled with the Holy Ghost and he prophesied. He said that John the Baptist was filled with the Holy Ghost from his mother's womb. Is that right? But John didn't have the Holy Ghost. You say, why didn't he have the Holy Ghost? Because the Bible said it had not yet been given. How could he have it if it had not yet been given? There was no way. When the Lord breathed on him, he started away. He said, receive ye the Holy Ghost. And they went back and tarried till they received the Holy Ghost. But see, the Holy Ghost is a gift from God, and it could not be given until Jesus was crucified. The Bible said that the Holy Ghost had not yet been given because Jesus had not yet died for the remission of sin. But today, we don't just get filled with the Holy Ghost, but we have the gift of eternal life, which is the gift of the Holy Ghost. We have the gift of the Holy Ghost. That is the Holy Ghost. It's like the wind. He could blow through this building and never blow through this building again. It could come strong enough to blow every door down and fill this building. Then it would leave and never come back again. But now, you could take a balloon and you could fill it with air. Are you following me? Stop it up where it couldn't get out. And you'll keep it as long as it don't burst. You got it. Is that right? Folks, this is the grandest, most glorious, most exciting age that's ever been in all of God's creation. I tell you this in the name of the Lord. There has never been a more exciting time, or there never will be. Somebody said, I'm waiting for them days to come. I tell you what, when the millennium gets here, it won't be as exciting as this is. You say, you mean to tell me, Brother Pike, that in the millennium it won't be as great as this day? No, sir. Somebody say, but Jesus Christ be sitting on the throne. Do you believe that when Jesus sits on his throne and rules his people, that it's going to be a greater thing than a soul saved from the flames of hell because of the atonement? No. There'll never be a day like this one. Ooh, I feel good. Ain't never been a day. The sons of God that's got the gift of the Holy Ghost, got the mind of the eternal God, can do anything they want to. Have whatsoever they say. Just say it and it's yours. Somebody said, you don't think I believe that, do you? No, I know you don't believe that, because if you believe that, it'd be a whole lot different around here. But that's what we're supposed to believe. Why wrestle at it? That's what he said. Abraham didn't stagger at the promise. I'm going to say this and I'm going to close. I keep telling you I'm going to close, but I really am going to close now. Somebody say, but Brother Pike, if Jesus come to talk with me, like he did Abraham of old, I believe it too. The Bible said that the scriptures appeared unto Abraham. It was the scriptures that talked to Abraham. Today it's not me that speak to you, but it's the scriptures. The Bible said it's not him that speaketh, but the heavenly Father speaking from within him. It's the scriptures speaking to you. Abraham staggered not at the promises of God. That's the promises of God. God the Spirit. God the Word. Tabernacle in the human body. You're his temple and he speaks. You got the gift of the Holy Ghost. Those men never did have a Holy Ghost. They were filled with the Holy Ghost. They done great things. Then the Holy Ghost went just like that. But we have the gift. He said, I'll never leave you. I'll never forsake you. He come to live with me. He come to stay with me. He's been with me through all of my troubles. Nothing can't separate me from the love of God. The devil himself can't separate me from the love of God. Someone say, well, I'd feel secure, but I'm afraid of the devil. The Bible said, I give you all power over the powers of the enemy. Nothing shall by any means hurt you. Why are you afraid of the devil? The devil's supposed to be afraid of you. Can you imagine a son of God being afraid of the devil? I mean, who ever heard of such a thing? Are you listening to me? I said, who ever heard of a son of God being afraid of the devil? That don't even make sense. And I said, well, ain't you afraid of him? Certainly I'm not afraid of him. Not at all. Not even the least bit. Not at all. And I said, well, you just don't know what he'll do to you. He don't do nothing to me. He can't. I got all power over him. Brother Jack Coe said one time that he told him what to do. The devil don't tell him what to do. Jack said, I tell him what to do. Somebody said, well, I don't believe that. Well, I do believe that. If you got power over somebody, you can tell them what to do. Is that right? If you don't have power enough to tell them what to do, I'll tell you what, you better get somewhere and you better get in touch with God. Because he's going about like a roaring lion. Somebody said, when did you ever hear anybody tell the devil what to do? I said, Satan, get out in the name of Jesus. And he got out. I told him what to do. He done it. You ever told him what to do? Well, why'd you look at me like that then? You want to stand with me? You're great people. Never, God said he would bring a people on the face of the earth. They ain't never been a people like that people. Never. You just don't know what you are, folks. Somebody said, well, Brother Pike, I know what I am. Well, then you must not believe what you know. You don't believe what you know. Because if you know who you are, you sure must not believe it. If you let the devil kick you around, you must not have much confidence in what you know. It don't do you much good to know it. You're kind of like that lady I heard about the other day. I believe Brother Walker was telling me, had maybe $500,000 or $500 million. I don't know which it was. And say she starved to death, weighed 50 pounds, starved to death, and when she died, had on something she got from the Salvation Army. That's the kind of condition you're in. She had all that money and didn't even have enough confidence to go get herself a bowl of soup to keep from starving to death. If you're a son of God, then you need to tell the devil to get off your land. He's a squatter. There's already been an abstract run on it. It's legally yours. That's what a lawyer's for. That's what a preacher is. He's a lawyer. I didn't come here and told you what your rights are. Thing to do is get your double barrel, Brother Branham said, and go down there and get him off. He's a squatter. Tell him to get off the land. I feel good, don't you? Somebody said, feeling so much better. Let's go on talking about the Lord. Somebody said, I wish you'd close. Somebody the other night, sitting back there and I was preaching, they looked over at somebody else and said, I wish he'd close. There ain't going to be no stores open nowhere to get nothing. You love the Lord? Let's sing a little chorus together. All of us are children of God growing up in the Lord. You've made mistakes. I've made mistakes. Still faults in you. There's faults in me. In my flesh dwelleth no good thing. But brethren, I say as they said before, I find no fault in this just man, bone of his bone and flesh of his flesh. Nobody can lay anything to your charge. Paul said you're God's elect. Peter said it's by foreknowledge that you are his elect. And Paul the Revelator said he saw the love of God and it was so strong, said nothing could separate you from it. Powers, death, principalities, Satan, nobody else. You had power over all of that. And he said you was without spot and you was without blemish. For God hath sanctified once and for all by the offering up of the body of Jesus Christ on the tree. You're sanctified from now on. And God hath perfected, that means made perfect, perfected forever them that are sanctified. How have you sanctified? So that he's made you perfect forever. What is perfection? Without spot, without wrinkle, without blemish. That's the kind of church he's married to. He's coming back after it one day. Somebody said, but Brother Pike, I thought it was full of blemishes and he sent the minister down here to clean it up. You don't believe that. You couldn't be a good preacher and believe that. If you believe that the minister can do what the blood of Jesus Christ can't do, there's something wrong with you. She never was dirty. If she'd been dirty, he'd have never married her. Justification means she never done it. He proved that she was not guilty. That's how the Jews is going to make it in. They're in the state of ignorance. Being in the state of ignorance is like children. They're not guilty in the sight of God. Paul said God concluded them in unbelief till the days of the Gentiles over so he could save them. You wasn't guilty to start with because you didn't know any better. You was just a child. But now that you're grown up, you're married to him. Paul said, I've espoused you to one, even Jesus. You're married to him. You've got on the wedding garment of his own righteousness. And nobody will ever get through them doors to live with him unless they do have it. We put on Christ. He's our body, the wedding garment, the righteousness. So then, I say this to you, if you are without spot, without blemish,
No preacher needs to try to preach you into a perfection. A preacher is for one thing. Paul said, helpers of your faith, to help you to believe. He said, we wish this one thing, even the perfecting of your believing, the perfecting of your faith. I'm only trying to get you to believe in a finished work before the world ever was. Only trying to get you to believe in what he's already done, in making you perfect, giving you eternal life, moving you out of sin, sorrow, telling you to get the devil off of you, because if you got sickness, cancer, TB, paralysis, trouble, heartaches, woe, poverty, get the devil off of you. Make him leave you. Somebody said, how can I do it? The Bible said, resist him, he'll flee from you. He'll run from you. He's a bully. If he thinks he can bully over you, and you'll sit around and say, oh, I'm going to die. I got to go to the doctor. I'm going to die. He'll sit right there and say, you're going to die. You're going to die. You're going to die. But if you'll rise up and you'll say, now, wait just a minute. I'm the boss here. I'm not going to die. I'm not planning to die. I got eternal life. I can't die. I got to be about my Father's business. I ain't got time to mess with you, Satan. Get thee behind me. Go on your way. He'll leave you alone. You say, how do you do it? The shield of faith. Resist him. Believe in the promises. Take the word. Faith by the hearing of the word. Believe it. Put him on the run. Go on your way about your Father's business. Don't go back into that world of unbelief, trouble, fears, perplexities. That's why I tell you to stay out of the world and the sin, all the things of the world, the lust of the flesh, stay out of it. It's death. Stay over here in the mind of God, the mind of believing, the mind of faith, the mind of joy, peace, happiness, righteousness. Stay over here in it. Bob felt that, I could tell. Bob got a connection then. Hallelujah, the Holy Ghost got next to Bob then. How many feel the Holy Ghost? I feel him right now. Isn't that wonderful? His spirit beareth witness with my spirit that I am a son of God. Not going to be day after tomorrow, but I am. Could you ever picture a son of God with a blemish? Could you ever see a son of God with a spot? Could you ever see the bride of Jesus Christ with a wrinkle? Could you? Ooh, I feel good. I feel the Holy Ghost. I feel clean, pure. He that hath his hope purifies himself. Like the little dove, it lets out the oil. They got to purify. They purify themselves. On the inside, I got to purify. I just let out the heavenly oil and just purify them. Like Brother Richard the other day, coming here with a miracle sort of a thing. It's a spray. He got tired of having to wash these things, so he come to the new way of life. And he got somebody to spray it on, and he just watches, just eats everything off and just drips off of it, leaves it sparkling clean. The Lord, he just moves over the Holy Ghost. The preacher just sprays it on, and the evil just drips off of him and just comes sparkling clean. You love the Lord? Hallelujah!